my name is Bobby, and I'm a food addict. I'll take my numbers and put my numbers out there right away. My numbers are, I came into this program at 255 pounds, and I have lost 130 pounds. I came in March 8th of 2000 was my first meeting, and I have been in program now for 5.5 years, and I've been abstinent now 3 years back-to-back. I recently celebrated my third year of back-to-back abstinence, and I will tell you a little bit about myself of how I got here. I obviously got here because I had a problem with food. I started as a kid that didn't want to eat as a baby. That's a story that my mother would tell, that most children eat like a whole jar of baby food at least a day, every day, or three times a day. And I was not interested in food. And so she was really worried about me and took me to her doctor. The doctor said that, find something that I would like to eat. Well, lo and behold, the thing that I like to eat was all the sweet stuff. So I think I was born with this disease. I truly believe that. I don't think that it's any accident or anything. It's just the way my body was, you know. And I went from not eating anything. And even as a kid, I didn't have a problem with like eating all the time, except for I liked sweet stuff. But, you know, I had somebody there to keep an eye on me. And so I would eat sweet stuff all the time and always. I'm a sugar addict. A true sugar addict, through and through. I really don't see any reason to have regular food. The only thing that I think that there should be is just sugar. Sugar, 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 sugar. Flour, sugar, flour, sugar. And that's what I lived on. You know, I would go, as a high school student, I would go without food all day so I could eat my sugar product, you know. And as I said, I didn't really have much time for food as a kid until I hit about fourth grade. And when I was in fourth grade, so 10 years old, whatever, I started to develop. And at that point in time, I think that's kind of like when things kind of switched around for me. I was really happy and confident as a little kid and liked myself quite a bit. But then all of a sudden, about that age, I started to develop and everybody else, I grew too. You know, I'm only 4'11". So when I weighed 255 pounds when I came in here, I was pretty big. I was almost as tall as I am wide. I was as wide as I am tall. And so I grew to be 4'11 when everybody else was 3 feet tall, probably, at that age or whatever. It wasn't like now. Kids are big kids now. And, you know, I felt like a giant. I felt like a giant, and I started to develop, and everybody else was these gangly little kids, and I was becoming looking like a woman. And I felt like a big giant. And I wasn't. I look at pictures of myself when I was little, and I wasn't fat. I was very solid built. But I felt like a huge, huge, gigantic Godzilla-like creature. And I hated myself. I really did. I reflect back and I realize a lot of anger during that time of my life. And all of a sudden, then when I got to be in junior high, everybody else grew and I felt okay. So when most kids are starting to go through that stage of really hating themselves, I was probably getting a little better. Though, you know, it's interesting that I realized that, you know, I was very, you know, I had a lot of friends. I also started to develop at that point the other end of the disease. The other end, when I was in high school, I wouldn't eat, or I would, you know, restrict my food so that I could, you know, have my sleep thing. I had to have my sleep fix. I had to have that fix. It was like a drug for me. So I would go 2 or 3 days if my weight went up, 2 or 3 days and not eat, you know, except for at night. I had to eat my dinner because my father ate with us, and he would have suspected something was odd if I wasn't eating. So I would eat around him. But I went through a phase where I couldn't have my food touch each other, or else I'd be vomiting, and I'd be actually ill. I couldn't have my food touch each other on the plate. I would only eat certain things a certain way, you know, and I didn't think I had a food problem. Didn't know I did at the time, you know. And, you know, I did make myself throw up a few times. And then I realized that wasn't right, so I didn't play that. And I didn't know anything at that time about laxatives and stuff like I've learned now. Now I know all sorts of a bag of tricks now that I didn't have then. But so that's what I was like as a kid. And that kept going and going and going. And it's funny, you know, as a kid and even as a young adult, I thought that, you know, I had so much to be blessed and so much to be happy for, but I was never, ever happy. Nothing was ever enough. You know, just because I got good grades or I had lots and lots of friends and I did lots of things and I was in clubs and, you know, it wasn't enough. I wanted to be that really popular girl. I wanted to be the cheerleader. I wanted to be the real cute girl who has millions of boyfriends and stuff, you know, and that probably wouldn't have been enough for me either. You know, nothing was ever enough. I couldn't appreciate what I had. Program has taught me to appreciate what God has blessed me with, but I didn't have that at the time. So that's what my high, you know, I graduated from high school and I went on to college, and my eating and drinking career took off then. And still, sugar and flour. That's my favorite things. So I graduated from college, and you know, my weight started to come on. I kept it off pretty much then. Oh, one of my other favorite things I did in college was I discovered pot, which I absolutely loved, and I discovered this great cocktail I made, which was called handfuls of Dexatrim diet pills, along with some pot and along with some alcohol, and that was the best high I ever had in my life, I thought, you know, until I came into program and discovered my higher power. That's a better high. But at the time, that's the best high I ever had. And I did this for a long time. I'm lucky I'm not dead, you know. And one of my roommates discovered it and flushed him down the toilet, and that was the end of that. So how I got here. That's what I was like before. I got here because my eating disorder really took off. Life disappointed me. I had graduated from college with a degree in education, and I thought that I was going to come out, get a teaching job, meet Mr. Wright, get married, have my house with my white picket fence and my 2.5 children or 3 children, whatever. That's what I thought, and that's not what the plan was. That's not what God's plan was for me. And when all these things did not happen, I couldn't handle it, and I handled my problems, life's problems, by picking up. And my sugar, you know, addiction got worse and worse and worse. And so I started eating and eating. But I truly believe that God had to get me up to 255 pounds in order for me to come into program. I think if I could look like I do now and just had that crazy head going on, I probably would not be able to accept that there really was anything the matter with me. I truly believe that. So I think God said, this girl needs help, and she needs to be reconnected, and she needs to come up here, and the only way I'm going to get her attention is by not letting all her little tricks, her bag of tricks, work anymore. You know, the fact that I couldn't stay on a diet, or if I stayed on a diet, yeah, I could stay on a diet, but then as soon as you reach goal, well, I never reached goal, because my weight kept going up. You know, as a kid, I used to think, oh, my God, if I hit 150, oh, my God, life would come to an end. Oh, my God, if I hit 200, shoot me now, you know, put me out of my misery. You know, all my, and then it got up to 255. You know, by rights, I should have been dead a couple of times. That's, you know, my old way of thinking. So it got to the point, too, that I didn't look in a mirror either, so I could fool myself. And I wouldn't get on the scale, you know, except for when I went to Weight Watchers or something, those rare occasions. So the diets quit working, everything quit working, and I was going to just be big, fat, and beautiful. And that, you know, I decided I was big-boned. I'm not big-boned. As I said before, I'm 4'11". And I'm a tiny, tiny girl, you know, but I convinced myself I was big-boned. And no, I was just well-padded, you know. I looked like a linebacker for the Pats, for God's sakes, and, you know, in a teeny little body. So imagine putting a, you know, Mack truck on an MG's frame is what I was doing. So I had, you know, these sore bones all the time and everything. My feet swelled up. My ankles were swollen. My back was a mess. You know, horrible, horrible things. And so that's how I got here. And one of my awful things before I really admitted that life was really so bad, one of the terrible things that happened to me is, and this is a shameful thing to admit, but I can here, is one of my lows was, you know, at a Stop and Shop freezer case, you know, just pushing the things away, looking for my fix. And one of my favorite things was Ben and Jerry's, and I was looking for a certain flavor, and I literally crawled into the, well, as wide as much as I could get of my body in there, and pushed things away, you know, and like a mad woman, like a crazed drug addict, because I am a drug addict when it comes to sugar products. Crazy, crazy, just shoving this until I found that flavor. And when I got that flavor, I had that, like everything was okay. I could actually feel the tension leave my body. That was my low. And my real, and then my doctor, though I didn't know that was a low. I think I thought that was normal. Like, you know, any sane person would really behave that way, you know? No. So then what I did was I had to go to the doctor because, you know, I had to go for a checkup. And my doctor, God does have a funny sense of humor, my doctor happened to be a cardiologist, my primary care physician. And she said to me, I don't care what you do, Bobby, but you've got to do something, otherwise you're going to be dead by the time you're 45. My blood pressure was sky high. I was in the process, almost ready to stroke out. I had, you know, my heart was racing all the time. And so, anyways, that's how I got here. I got here because somebody had planted a seed about OA. Somebody had told me that, you know, about OA a long time ago, though I couldn't hear it. Though I guess it must have been in my back of my head. When she said no sugar, no flour, I thought she was insane, you know. And to accuse me of having a problem with sugar, she was really insane. You know, I didn't have any food problems. I could stop any time I wanted to. The truth is, I could not stop at all. And then another person brought me to an OA meeting, and I liked what I heard. Somebody had shared that she had been almost 300, and she got down to 200, and she, for the first time in her life, loved her body, and she was happy in her body. I had never been happy in my body, so those were magic words to me, but I still wasn't quite ready. And then somebody came, an angel came to my Al-Anon meeting that I was attending at the time, and shared about this meeting in Waltham. I live in Waltham, Massachusetts, in OA, and she said that, I know I don't live in OA, it feels like I live in OA now, but I realize that's what it sounded like I said. And I spend a lot of time at these meetings, so maybe I do live in OA. But anyways, she told me about a meeting that was really, literally around the corner from where I live, and so that's where I went to my first meeting, March 8th of 2000, and thank you, God. You know, I walked in there, and I knew, I didn't come to OA to lose weight. I came to OA specifically because I was looking for the 12 steps. I was looking for something to heal my inside. I knew if that little girl would feel safe again, she could come back out. And so that's what I did. I came to OA, and I was struck abstinent. That first night I put the sugar down, I heard it loud and clear. And it took me 17 days later to put the flour down. I got a sponsor 17 days later, and my life has changed dramatically. And I'll tell you what it's like now. I've been through some ups and downs. I lost my mother 4 months after I came into OA. It's a miracle. The day that I got a sponsor, my mother was rushed to the hospital with renal failure. And the miracle is that I called that woman that was my sponsor the next day at 7 o'clock like she had suggested I do. Because what a perfect excuse for an addict not to, you know, to call or anything. You know, I'm always used to put off. And that was God working, you know, on my higher power. I choose to call God. And that woman worked with me through that whole time. And I lost my mother 4 months after that, almost to the day. And then after that, I lost the sponsor, you know, shortly after that time, too. And I got a new sponsor. And then I lost my father. I lost my father 6 months almost to the day that after I lost my mother. And it was very difficult for me because I am an only child. And my parents and I had a very, very, very codependent relationship. Very, very tight. My mother and I especially codependent relationship, I would say. These people were my best friends. I love these people to death. You know, and I miss them still. I was driving over here today. I was thinking about them. I feel them with me all the time, and I know that they'd be thrilled because the bone of contention with my mother is that I was so heavy. So this, I'm sure they're thrilled. And my father, I know, was because I told them both. The nice thing is my mom got to see me 50 pounds down, and my dad got to see me 110 pounds down. And my father was thrilled that I was doing this program. He always said that all the answers to life were in the big book, and that all people should read the big book if they had the opportunity. And if all people practiced the 12 steps, there'd be a lot less trouble in the world. So I have 5 minutes, I've been told, to finish up what I need to say. And let me just tell you what I do now. I do my program, and I'll tell you what my life is like because I do my program the way I do it. I do no sugar, no flour. For me, flour and sugar are drugs. I jones those things like a heroin addict joneses heroin. You know, I cannot have one bite of anything like that because once I get that taste in my mouth, I cannot stop thinking about it. It is on my mind 24/7. I just can't stop. Now, because I've put these things down, and because I've been in AWOLD, which is a way of living, or where I studied the 12 steps, anybody can study them any way they want, but definitely you have to study the 12 steps. The answer are in the steps. You know, otherwise, if you come into OA, this is my opinion now, if you come into OA and you don't practice the 12 steps, then you might as well just be doing any old diet plan, because you're not going to keep it. You'll lose the weight, absolutely. You can't help but lose the weight. But you're not going to fix your spirit, your broken spirit. And that's what the 12 steps helps you. It gives me a way to live my life because I have no way, no coping skills. I don't understand how to deal with life. So it gives me a map. You know, I work as a teacher, and we have graphic organizers to help. I work in special education, and we have graphic organizers. We have certain things that we put in place for our students to help them deal with, you know, how to plan out certain things. And that's what the 12 steps are for me, my graphic organizer. So, you know, there's a song that Rascal Flatts does. He's a country western singer. And the song is called The Broken Road. And it says, God bless the broken road that led me straight to you. And I say, God bless the broken road that led me straight to OA. You know, I had a broken spirit. And God has helped me cure that. The things that God has done for me because I eat no sugar, no flour, I went from no job, you know, or a job that I was miserable at, and I made a switch. And then I had no job, no insurance. I had, you know, no way to deal with life except to raid candy jars and things like that. No confidence, miserable, you know, to the fact that now I have a job that I like. I make really good money. I'm also, you know, I ask God to help me with certain things to provide what He wants me to do. You know, I turn my life. I do my first 3 steps every single morning, and I turn my life and my will. I used to say I'm turning my will over to the care of God, but I would hold on like the monofilament, you know, that like fishing string or something, and rip it back and take it back. But now I cut it. You know, it really is in God's hands. And, you know, God has given me, like I said, I'm not in financial difficulty anymore. I'm able to pay my bills. I could not pay my bills. I have health insurance. I have a brand new car I got a year ago. You know, I pay my car payment. I pay my rent. All the things that I asked God, you know, I needed a part-time job, so I put it in prayer and I said, God, I trust that you'll provide for me. I need to do something. Either I'll go to Target or, you know, maybe I can do some tutoring. The next thing I know, I have all these tutoring jobs in my lap. I mean, I have so much stuff going on now. You know, God has just given me abundant blessings that I kind of have to turn some stuff down, you know. And this is a gift. I'm taught seriously. You know, when you ask God and you put your hands out and you wait, it might be, you know, God's time, God's plan. There's another song, you can tell I like country music because Garth Brooks has a beautiful one called Unanswered Prayers. And, you know, he's absolutely right. You know, I used to pray, oh, send me Mr. Light, you know, blah, 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 whatever it was. Make me skinny, make me skinny, make me skinny. And that's not what happened, you know. And thank God that God did not answer my prayers by just making me miraculously skinny because I wouldn't be here. So I want to end with, again, I just want to reiterate that, you know, God bless the broken road that led me straight to you. Thank you very much.